This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. And as I usually do, I'll give you my website address and my mailing address at the close of the program. I hope you go to the website and take advantage of some of the information that is available there. You can re-listen to this program there and you can share it with others from there. You can contact me either way, so if you'd like to contact me, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so that you can write the address of the website or my mailing address down at the close of the program. Now, we've been going through Luke chapter 23, and I've really been enjoying it myself. I hope you've been enjoying it along with me. The last time, we were working with Luke 23 and verse 34, where the Lord says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots for his garments. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." Now Luke 23 and verse 36 says, "The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.' Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, we know that the Lord came to save. We know that it was his purpose. His name was called Jesus so that he could save his people from their sins. And as we go down through this passage, we again see that there was a great division because of the Lord. We've mentioned it before. The thief on one side of him was saved. The thief on the other side of him was lost. And I have to ask myself, and I have to ask you, would you like to know, like the saved sinner, the saved thief, that one day paradise will be your home? I believe you can know that, because in Luke, we have read before that the Son of Man comes to seek and to save one who was lost. That was Luke 19 and 10, as we looked at Zacchaeus. Now, you might ask yourself the question, why on this program do we spend so much time on having your sins forgiven and knowing that you have a home in heaven? Many people will ask us to spend time on how a Christian should live and helping Christians understand and enjoy their Christian experience. And I think I have a responsibility to do that as well. But I have to admit that as I've gone through Luke chapter 23 in particular, but even as we've gone through the whole book of Luke, the gospel has been associated with the need for people to have their sins forgiven. The Lord came into the world, as we have said, to save sinners. That's what he was called, a Jesus, so he could save his people from their sins. And when I preach the gospel, I not only preach it so people can be saved, but I preach it so people who are saved will have some ability, some understanding of the scriptures, so that they can go out and tell others how to be saved. I preach the gospel because some who are saved get away from the Lord and the blessing of their salvation grows cold. In some cases, they sin against God, and I want them to be restored to the Lord. I want them to understand the blessing that they first understood when they came to the Lord and trusted in him. So restoration is usually accomplished through the same gospel that salvation is accomplished through. And yes, I am a firm believer that if you have trusted in the Lord, you are saved, but that you may not always enjoy a close relationship with the Lord. I do not believe our salvation can be lost, because our salvation depends upon what Christ has done for us, and that has never changed. It does not depend on what we do for Christ. And you say, well, can't you quit believing? Well, that's a theological question, and I suppose it's a difficult one to answer, but scripturally I can say that when we get everlasting life, we get it when we first trust in Christ, we become new creatures in Christ. When we get that everlasting life, then we get it forever. Everlasting is eternal. It is forever. And so I don't believe that we are born again and again and again. I believe we're born again. But I do believe that sometimes we need to be restored to the Lord. And so we need to confess the sin that has bothered us, and we need to be restored in fellowship, not in salvation, but in fellowship to the Lord. And so I preach the gospel so souls can be saved. I preach the gospel so that those who want to preach to others might have tools with which to do that. I preach the gospel to see those who are saved and who have gotten away from the Lord. I preach it so they can be restored. And I preach the gospel so young Christians, new Christians, can be confirmed in what they believe, and that they can have scripture that constantly reaffirms what they first trusted in when they trusted in Christ. And yes, I hope that if you are saved today, you have a scripture that you have available to you that says what you believe, a scripture that gives you assurance of salvation, because Satan will come along and say, oh, this is not true. And when he does that, usually it's when you have failed the Lord in some way. When he does that, it's nice to be able to go back to the John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or the Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, as we come to Luke 23, we see that there were people who mocked the Lord because he was dying on a cross, and they said, how can you be the Son of God and die on a cross? You should have been able to save yourself. And of course, in a sense, that's what Judas thought the Lord would do. He thought the Lord would save himself and that nobody would be harmed by him selling the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. I'm convinced that's what Judas thought. And when he found out that it wasn't going to work out that way, he was sorry that he had gotten involved in this plot to crucify the Lord, even though Judas was a betrayer who had never really come to understand the true value of who the Lord was. I don't think he had ever trusted in him as his Savior, as Peter did, who made some mistakes at the crucifixion as well. Now, with the need for a Savior, and with the Lord presenting himself as the Savior and people mocking him, yet we have two men dying beside him, and they're both thieves. And I love this story, because I asked at the beginning of the program, would you like to really know that you're going to be with the Lord in paradise when you die? Would you like to know that? Not hope for that, but would you like to know that? Well, here we have a thief. Here we have a criminal dying with the Lord, who knew that before he died, because he had the promise of God for it. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And the fact that the thief asked him to remember him when he came into his kingdom, evidence that the thief at some point had turned from the attitude of rebellion and skepticism to the attitude of belief, because he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The Lord was being crucified with an accusation written over his head. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And how can a dead man have a kingdom? Well, the thief asked for the Lord to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And as we have said, at this time, the kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. But it showed that the thief did not believe that everything was going to be over when the Lord died. He believed that the Lord had power to bring him into that kingdom, and the Lord assures him that he will do that by receiving him into paradise when he dies. He had the word of God for the fact that he was saved. And as we look at these two men, it's interesting that, as we've said, the gospel always divides. Both men had sinned the same way. Both thieves had sinned the same way. Neither man could make restitution or do good works to be saved. Both men had the same opportunity, saw the same events, heard the same words from the Lord. Both men started out being critical and thinking that if he was the Son of God, he should save himself. But only one of them was saved. The gospel divides believer from unbeliever, the saved from the lost. What did the thief who was lost have to lose by asking for mercy from the Lord? He had nothing to lose but his pride. And really, I believe pride is often the crowning sin that keeps us from repenting and believing what God has said and allowing us to submit ourselves to God himself with regard to the confession of our sinnership and with regard to the Lord's ability to seek and to save that which was lost. How did this saved thief know he would be in paradise? He knew it because the Lord told him so. And if we're saved today, it's nice to have a scripture that tells us that we're saved. For example, I like Romans 5 and 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's a very good scripture to have and to remind really Satan of, if he brings questions into your mind, to remind him that this is in fact what God has promised sinners. The Son of Man came into the world to save sinners, of course, but he when we were still without strength, when we could do nothing to save ourselves, Christ died for the ungodly. And if we see ourselves as the ungodly ones, certainly we can see ourselves as having a promise from God that he saved us. Paul had that promise. He says in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, a verse that I've been referring to in part, he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And so if the chiefest of sinners could be saved, a thief on the cross could be saved. Notice it was in the 11th hour. It was his last chance. And he came to himself, much like the prodigal son when he was feeding the swine. In Luke's gospel, he left the father and he was feeding the swine. And he came to himself and said, "The blessing is back in my father's house." He got into his right mind. Well, this man did that same thing. And even he then was saved in the 11th hour. And friend, until the day you take your last breath, you can be saved. And it's not going to be by works. If the chiefest of sinners could be saved, you can be saved. If the thief on the cross could be saved, you can be saved. But notice, the chiefest of sinners is often people who are doing religious works, thinking they are pleasing God when they are not. That was Paul. But friend, the Lord came to seek and to save the lost, and he sought and he saved a thief on the cross. Don't be like the one who in pride rebelled against God. Turn to the Lord and say, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the gospel. We trust that you'll bless this story, this historical story, these facts that we've read today. Bless them, that we might see people brought into the kingdom, that we might see people saved even today. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We just commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.